Hello and welcome to Woodman Corner, the West Bromwich Albion podcast that would probably steal a taxi but couldn't be bothered to stay up till 5:30 in the morning. I am Graham Brown and I'm joined by two Albion supporting guests today. Young man Joe Chapman, who usually joins me.
Yes, how are you, Graham?
I am very well, thank you. And Kieran Dooley, who always does the hard work on our podcast but isn't usually on, but now he is. Kieran, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
And he starts off by calling me Graham. This is why certain people aren't allowed on podcasts. Thank you for joining us, Kieran. So today's podcast is going to be great. So we've got two guests. We're going to start off in a minute with Darren Farley, who's probably best known as the best known football impersonator in the business. We do a couple of things with him. The first of which I tried to encourage him to do an impression of Daniel Sturridge, which he has a go at to his credit, and then comes on to what is a brilliant minute on how Roy Hodgson would respond to Cabgate. So we're going to come back to Cabgate in a minute, and the three of us are going to talk about what we think about it, and we're going to just generally try and veer away from the depressing situation that is Albion at the moment. So here is Darren. My interview with Darren earlier this week when he was coming to Birmingham to promote the Carabao Cup.
It's quite Daniel Sturridge. There's not enough you can do. I always very carefully select which impressions that I do. So Daniel Sturridge, I'm starting to think of his voice because I have heard him a couple of times. So he's kind of it's all right. Not too bad, But I think it's a good thing with impressions. You've got to pick the perfect character, something you can, I find the top four managers quite difficult to do. Only like Pep Guardiola, Conte, there's not enough.
You can see that you kind of become that person. You can see that, like the way you do it.
I appreciate that, thank you.
So, I mean, the one that we always steal for you, but that relates to Albion, is Roy Hodgson.
Yeah.
So I thought I would try and put on a scenario that you've got Roy Hodgson to deal with Taxigate.
Yeah.
Of course, what I would say was that if I was to find three senior players involved in anything like that, I tell you now, I'm a black belt in karate, people don't know that. I'd get the three of them, I'd sort them out because I've got a massive problem with that. I would have Gareth Barry, I can't believe it. He's 64 now, he's got enough experience to not be doing that kind of thing. Well, I would have a real big problem, but Alan Pardew's got his own way of dealing with it. But mine would have been Kung Fu Kwati, that's what it would have been.
Right, so thank you to Darren for that. To his absolute credit as well, he was able to deliver that despite the fact that I was laughing directly in his face the entire time. So I think we probably can't avoid talking about the fact that four of our experienced professionals went out till R5 in the morning, went to McDonald's, stole a taxi, and so on and so on and so on. As it happens, they did this at a really annoying time that meant that we just missed it on our podcast last week. In fact, the news broke as we were recording it, so we were kind of a bit late to talk it through. But let's talk it through. So our newest guest, who's worked out my name now,
Kevin,
Kieran. What do you think? You're an Albion fan who pays to go along. Do you want to flay these people alive?
Don't get me wrong. I can see why people are upset about it, but I think if we weren't in a position that we are, it wouldn't be such a big deal. I think there'd be a laughing joke about it. There's obviously. The issue with it is the fact that it's senior players. It isn't young players breaking in. It's the captain, England international. And on top of the results at the minute, they're not playing well. It's just giving the fans another excuse to get on the backs.
Yeah.
I think the problem with it is it was booked before they played Liverpool, wasn't it?
Yes.
They had no intention of playing. Well, they had no intention of winning it, really. They didn't think they would. It's the same. It's like when you go on a stag do. You drink more in 2 days than you would in a week. So I think...
That's a great analogy, actually, yeah.
I just think that's what's happened
I think that's a really, really good point, which is that the real significance of this is the admission after that that they probably wouldn't have gone. It's actually the fundamental flaw of going in the first place.
I just think in their head it was a way of letting loose a bit. They're under a lot of pressure, which obviously any relegation threatened team is, but it was always in their head that they were going to let loose. The fact that they had a game on a Saturday which wasn't planned... It should have changed the thinking, but I just think.
Do you take a view on who's to blame for it? There's a lot of kind of anger being thrown around and at the players and that sort of thing. Would you say, is this the players' fault? Is it the management's fault? Is it nobody's fault? Do you think
there's obviously fault there? Isn't it? It's not like the kids. They're like in the mid 30s, some of them, and they've made the decision to go out and get drunk till 5:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So I think you've got to blame them to an extent. I think it's hard to... You can't expect Pulis to put... Pulis. Pardew to put them all on, you know, lock and chain all night. Can you? So I just think, fair enough, it shows a bit of lack of disrespect, but I don't think you can pile it all onto Pardew to say that he should lock them in the rooms as grown men.
It's interesting that, because I think I would. I'm not sure, but to a certain extent, what I wonder, and I have no expert insight into this, but is this reminiscent of a problematic culture at the Albion? So it's Albion have a recent history of signing good professionals, you know, like Johnny Evans and Gareth Barry, that kind of person. I just wonder if this would this have happened under Alan Pardew? I'm pretty certain this wouldn't have happened under Gary Megson. I'm not pretty certain, but I wonder about it, and that's what I wonder, and I wonder if in times a lot potentially more of the blame will be the door of a management team that allowed that culture to happen. I don't know. Yeah. What do you think, Joe?
Yeah, I mean, I'd agree largely with what Kieran said about the how unexpected it was when those four names came out in this statement on the evening last Friday and explained that they felt the need to come out so that their teammates weren't being kind of, you know, the finger of blame wasn't going to fall on their teammates. They had to come out and take the blame for it. When you think of the players it was, and we all know they're all, apart from Myhill, they're all Tony Pulis signings, aren't they?
Yeah.
And Pulis was very, very careful when he was going about his recruitment to get a background check, make sure he had lots of information and had done his research in as much as how the players were as people.
Yep.
As well as players. And, yeah, I mean, in the whole time that Tony Pulis was at the club, apart from Sado Berahino, who was already at the club, there weren't any problems, were there, really, off the field? Not any that spring to mind for me. You look at Johnny Evans as a kind of as a model pro.
So that leads me to another question, and I'm about to seriously sideline you. Do you reckon it would have happened if Darren Fletcher was still in?
Oh well, it's funny, isn't it? Because you'd have Evans and you would have Evans and Barry in that.
Yeah,
in
I know.
That category.
Yeah, yeah. Which is why I wonder if it's a cultural thing, this.
Yeah, you do think that, yeah, you know, could you imagine Fletcher behind the wheel of a taxi, allegedly, at, you know, 5 a.m?
I guess we're all saying that about Gareth Barry.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so, for that reason, it is hard to gauge.
I just wonder that are we seeing on the pitch and off the pitch a sense of a, of that? Like I said, I think it's been quite a prolonged period of a kind of culture of a team that kind of works hard and looks after it. Are we seeing that come apart at the seams? I don't know, mate. Is that going too far?
I think it's a bit... I mean, it's another metaphor, really, but... You know, like, a kid with strict parents that goes to uni and lets loose. I think it's kind of a reaction to the strict regime under Pulis. Mm-hmm. They've been given that bit of freedom and...
They're going to rebel, yeah.
Just rebelled, yeah.
I think
it's showing on the pitch as well, to be honest, if you look.
Yeah.
They're not getting a defensive shape as quick as they were. You've seen in set pieces, it's... diabolical, really, the way
the
goals are conceded. Corners. The goals are conceded.
Especially against
Southampton in the cup was, I mean, for both games in the league and the cup.
Yeah.
The ease with which Southampton managed to find the back of the net from corners, which for 3, 4, 5 years you just haven't had to worry about Albion, have you? In both boxes, you think, well, we'll score enough from corners, and we'll also have enough at the back to ensure that we don't concede.
Yeah, I think I can understand that. You know, you've been given some. Some greater freedom, and with that, you know, it just kind of queries the pitch. It kind of confuses people. All right, so I guess the final question about this, while I'm when I'm lumping problems, Alan Pardew's way. Alan Pardew went from being 33-1 to be the next manager sacked, and to evens, he's come out a bit now. He's about 6-4 against to be the next manager sacked. It's Joe, would you sack Alan Pardew?
My word,
Kieran, you know what's coming.
prepare yourself, Kieran. It's a real tough one, isn't it? What with John Williams and Martin Goodman already leaving, then this happening in Barcelona, could the club do with any more upheaval at this moment in time? Now, of course, the Huddersfield game is as big a game as Albion have had in however long, dating back pretty much the entire Premier League era. I think one in terms of a build up of events.
Yeah.
You know, this is a huge game that they dare not drop points in, and as reports would suggest, if Albion get beat 2-0 on Saturday, are you then expecting a statement on Monday morning from the website, or, you know, from the club saying that he's been relieved of his duties? I'm struggling to see where Albion go after a defeat.
So, your answer is
political.
In short,
I know
that
I know.
That Albion.
I think Albion should
sack him if they lose to Huddersfield.
I can't. Yeah, I mean, if they're gonna give themselves any chance. The other thing, of course, is very much like Tony Pulis sacking in November. Where do you go? You've got to make the right decision. And one win in 13 league games would suggest that the appointment Alan Pardew hasn't worked.
Oh, there's no question. There's no question it's worked. it'd be some odd mathematics that work out. So, go on, let's get to, I reckon Kieran can only serve to answer this question better than you. would you be handing a P45 to Alan Pardew?
Well, to be honest, when he was first appointed, I wasn't over the moon about it.
Nope.
I think the thing with Albion this season is every decision they've made, the timing has just been way off. They've already shown that they've kind of given up on Svalbard, really, by changing the chairman. They're just ready to rebuild in the summer, which is what they're going to have. They've had to do it for the last 5 years. They just seem to be putting it off.
Yeah.
The problem is, I've kind of come to the fact now that we will be playing Championship football next season.
Yep.
Pardew, for me, isn't the man to take you up. You're going to have to build from the back.
Yep.
Which he's already damaged us in that sense since taking over. So I just can't see how him being in charge of next season is a positive.
Do you know, I think that's pretty much exactly how I see it, really, which is that he isn't the right man for us in the Championship. And so on that basis, you've almost got a free hit. So come back to your point, do we need any more? Do we need to be destabilised anymore? Can we be destabilised anymore? And maybe we'll destabilise ourselves in the right position. I would have changed straight away. I mean, to be honest, I wonder if we're giving him two games, he's really bored speak for, I've only just got here, so give me 2 weeks to recruit someone else.
But in two weeks' time, Albion's slim hopes of survival may be written off.
And I mean, the point you made about a loss against Huddersfield is probably a salient one. I think one last
pertinent point I will make is that Alan Pardew, going back to November, and Alan Pardew was appointed the manager. I think there was certainly an element of kind of, you know, him being, he, was he the best of a bad bunch in terms of free agents and free candidates? What I will say is that he certainly didn't harm him that he was just the immediate alternative to Tony Pulis.
I think it
served him well that he wasn't Tony Pulis. So straight away he was considered an improvement.
I think the attacking football just overshadowed the fact that it still wasn't great. It was just something different.
Years,
so. You waited for that bounce. It never came. You waited for the January transfer window.
I think it's obscure, really. I've said this before, that a team that can spend over 100 grand a week on two loan players went and just got whatever was the easiest manager, it appeared to me, at the time. The other thing I think that... So I think Jeremy Peace is the biggest loss that Albion have had in a generation. And I think Jeremy Peace just worked at a level that was just smarter than everyone else. And the example I would give is when he recruited Roy Hodgson, he moved quickly because he was available, which is how you're supposed to do recruitment. You know someone's good, they're available, go and get them, and so on. What we did was, at the tipping point when it was too difficult to deal with fans complaining about Pulis, they sacked him. And who was available then? No one. So they recruited Pardew, and I think they're paying for it now. I pray that he makes me eat these words, but there seems little evidence thus far that that's going to be the case.
Well, I mean, the Huddersfield game will tell you a hell of a lot of how much the players have responded to Alan Pardew in the last week or so.
Yeah,
he's had to come out and front it all up in the press. He's the one that's had to answer questions, difficult questions that he probably wasn't expected to answer a week ago. And so, you know, after all that, and he's obviously spoke today at the press conference about how he's disciplined them, how the club have fined them, and, you know, he's obviously taken the captain's armband away from Evans in that cup game. It's now time for the players to step up and say, you know what, yeah, We need to do something.
Well,
here,
that's emphatically the case, definitely. So all of these points, whether Pardew's the right man or the cab four, I've put to Chris Kamara, who was also in Birmingham to promote the Carabao Cup. So here's what he had to say. So I'm from the Bone Man. I principally deal with West Brom. So can I talk to you about the dire straits we're in and what hope you think you'd give us of making it out, staying in the Premier League till next season?
Well, it's looking gloomy at the moment, and I'm sure that Alan Pardew's hoping that they can get on a run. But he's been down there before. He's got out of similar situations. He knows the score. It's becoming more difficult, that's one thing for certain. They do need to get on a run. I know the fans are really disappointed that they went out of the FA Cup, but you don't need that as a hindrance at this moment in time. I always remember when Wigan, just a few seasons back, they won the FA Cup and they got relegated from the Premier League. The supporters were asked the question, would you take winning the FA Cup or staying in the Premier League? And most of them would have took the majority of winning the FA Cup. You know, with what's at stake these days, and I'm sure if you give Baggies fans the opportunity of having a voice on that one, I'm sure they would have said staying in the Premier League, and that's what it's all about.
I mean, do you think Pardew is the right man? He's now the favourite to be sacked next. Do you think he's the right man? Would you be sacking him if you were Albion's?
Well, it doesn't help when you take the players away on a summer break or whatever it's called, winter break, and you end up with problems. You know, that's never a help. But the players have all admitted their responsibility. You know, the players who were actually in trouble, you wouldn't have thought in a million years. If I was asked to pick any of those, I wouldn't have come up with any of those. So he's been slightly let down, that's one thing for certain. It's never over till it's over. That's the beauty of the Premier League. You just don't know.
Can I ask you about Taxigate? You were a footballer for quite a while. Did you know anything quite to the extent of going abroad, nicking a taxi, and so on? You must have been involved with some hijinks. No, you must have seen some hijinks.
Of course, yeah. It was different. It was so different back in the day, because that wouldn't have made the papers or the press, or exactly what would have happened in those situations. A lot of situations, I'm not saying exactly the same as that happened, but certainly a lot of things did happen back in the day. Now you can't do anything as players, and certainly you can't let the club down in the circumstances that they did in this day and age and expect to get away with it. You know, they've been punished, the players, they've apologised, that's all they can do, and hopefully it doesn't hold any bearing on whether their league position is threatened at all.
You were also a manager, though, so that four of your players do that. What do you do to them?
Well, like I said, you feel let down. You have to treat players with respect that in this day and age, and you hope that they give you, as a manager, that same respect in return. If they don't and they let you down, then they have to accept the consequences.
Would you have been harder? So they played, most of them turned out in the FA Cup the next game. Would you have picked them?
Yeah. Don't cut your nose off to spite your face. Yeah. That's one thing you can't do. Yes, they've been up to misdemeanours, and if the Albion had lost that game at the weekend and he'd have dropped those four players, then everyone would have blamed Alan Pardew. Yeah. Whereas it gave them the opportunity to right their wrongs, and unfortunately, it wasn't to be.
So, final question: we're here now with Darren Farley. Have you got a football impression that you can do for us?
No, I haven't. But I've been listening to him doing quite a few. And
you must have learned something. Well, let's have a go.
No. you name somebody, then you know.
And can you do Harry Redknapp?
Yeah. No, I don't think so. You see, that's my Celtic coming in. I'll be listening to him all afternoon.
That's an excellent Jamie Carragher.
Oh, that's who it was. Yeah.
So thank you to Chris Kamara for that, and thank you all for joining this week. Not least Kieran, who, despite getting my name wrong,
off the hook.
It was nice to have you on board, Kieran.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
And Joe, thank you again.
Thank you, Graham.
And most of all, thank you all for joining us. We come out every week, so tell your friends about it, and onwards and upwards.